Hey, welcome to the Intentional Living Center. Dr. Randy here. This is a place with people who care for you. And man, we really mean that when we say it. We care about you. We love you and want to help you experience hope in Christ. If you know Him, you have hope, but we want you to experience it. We join you, we know, at a place maybe where the daily grind of work, your family, maybe finances, your health, it meets the practical one thing biblically based solutions that can result in more freedom and peace and direction. And if that's something you desire, more freedom and peace, come on and join us. Love to have you share on our prayer line or on our comment line at 888-888-1717. We wrapped up a show last week. We're continuing today on callers who want to still talk about the relationship with their aging parents. And so we start with Vicki in Kansas. Vicki, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Dr. Carlson. Yes, I have a question. My parents were raised in the Depression era, mm-hmm. where you saved everything.
Right.
And they saved up lots of money, put it in CDs and stocks and things like that. And my father passed away about 10 years ago. So now it's just my mom. She's 83. And she will not spend any of the money on herself. And she needs to be able to spend it. I mean, she needs it for things.
All right. Well, there's a difference between things that she needs and things that she wants. And you're saying it's gotten down to the place where she's not taking care of herself and just the basics.
Right.
Yeah. Well, there's a place where, you know, the kids, we have to step in. I think we honor our parents sometimes by stepping in and saying, Mom, we love you, but something's got to change here. Would she be willing to have someone share the financial management with her?
I don't know. She's awful stubborn. I've tried to approach it about 3 times.
Okay. Who's the person on the planet she respects the most?
Probably my brother.
Okay. Well, then brother needs to be the influencer to sit down with Mom and say, Mom, we love you, but listen, you've got X dollars here. I mean, do you know what she has? Do you know what her financial thing looks like?
Well, I know that she's got, I think she probably is at $100,000 or so.
And she has resources and she's caring for herself. And how old is your mom?
83.
And what's her health like?
Pretty good.
Okay, well, you know, depending on, she could live nowadays, you got people 83 live to 100 easily. And so she, $100,000 doesn't go that far. And I don't know how she's living, mostly on Social Security and so on. But I would encourage you, if that were my mom in that situation, and she's health is pretty good, but she didn't want to spend her money, which that helped her get to where she is today. I think you got to sit down with her and say, Mom, we love you, but if something happens to you tomorrow, we don't know what the plan is.
Okay.
And let's put a plan together. Can we sit down and work out a budget with you? Can we sit down and look at how your finances are going to be used? And then practically, what are the needs? What's the thing that she needs that she's not spending money on?
Well, things like house repairs or car repairs or, you know, I mean, she doesn't spend it at
all. Well, that's why she has a savings. And at this point, albeit $100,000, she could easily live to be 95 with the way people are living today. You know, another 12 years, that's not going to go very far. Come on. And so it's good that she's been conservative, and it's good that she's taking, not blowing everything, but has reserves. But it doesn't sound like you know sort of this and sort of that. And as I said a moment ago, Vicki, if that were my parent at 83, I'd say, okay, Mom, love you, but it's time to have a talk. Let's get all the facts on the table. And if it's not me, it's going to be another sibling. If it's not them, you need somebody. But if something were to happen to you today, what would happen to us? What would happen? What do you want to have happen? And it's easy to blow that off, but we need to talk about it. And I would get that end of years plan. She may have many, many more years, but end of years plan, which might include an estate, will, whatever, but to get the documents, get the answers so you have a plan. I think the Bible talks about that. Without the right kind of a plan. In fact, the Bible says, without a vision from God, the people cast off restraint. And I know I'm stretching it a tad to apply here, but the point is, when we don't have a plan, when we don't have a vision, it's easy just to do a lot of different unintentional things and go in a lot of different directions. So I encourage you to do that. I hope that helps, Vicki. Thank you. Continuing on this theme with adult parents and things, Guadalupe has called. What's your question today?
Well, my father, up until about 2 years ago, was very independent, and he suffered a cardiac arrest.
Mm.
And for the last year and a half, he was recovering, and I was totally caring for him. And now he's fully recovered. God healed him, healed his diabetes. He's totally healthier than he was before.
Wow.
My issue with him right now is that I took some of his independence away while he was under my care.
You had to.
Yeah, and now he would like some of that back. But he wants, like, to me, some of it is like, I'm trying to find a balance, like, to what's okay and what's not, because of his cardiac arrest, and he got so severely injured. And I'm thankful to God now that he's healed, but now he would like to start doing things than what he was doing before. Like, still wants to drive, still wants to, you know, mop the floors, wash the dishes, and do all this stuff that he used to do before. So I'm trying to find a balance as to, like, what's okay and what's not.
Yeah, that's a really good question, because the fact is, you're saying he's healed and he's good, but he's really not healed and that good. He's still struggling. He's 80, you know, 80 some years old, and he's aging, and that's just part of the process. And you see it probably more than he sees it. This is why, as those of us who get older, there's more falls, there's more stupid decisions. I talked to an expert, someone that I know, who said, you know, I've seen people live their whole life, people that they've had an opportunity to help and encourage, but they blow it in the last 5 or 10 years of their life. They make dumb decisions. And sometimes it could be as simple as, hey, I'm climbing up on a ladder I shouldn't climb up, or overdoing my health when I shouldn't. But at the same time, each of us, come on, I understand this. We want to stay as independent as we possibly can. So it's going to be a balancing act. And of course, you can't treat him like a child, and hopefully he doesn't act like one. So my encouragement, just a really practical one thing for you, Guadalupe, would be to go to his doctor with him and have the doctor give you some sort of balance on what he should be doing and not be doing. Because the doctor may say, no, let him do as much as he wants. In other words, giving him freedom. And so someone who's objective in the whole relationship, or on the other hand, saying, no, you have no business driving a car. And so a little bit of getting the monkey off your back, as they used to say, right? And so you can get some outside input, but listen, you got to do the right thing. And sometimes that's not necessarily easy. Okay, continuing this theme, Janie's on the line in Arizona. Hi, Janie. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm so blessed to have you.
Thank you.
Done a lot in my life.
Thank you.
My question to you is, my husband and I, we have stepchildren. Mm-hmm. I have a son. He has 2 daughters. We have a trust in place already. We want to get together with all 3 of our children and discuss what's in our trust. And I don't know if I should let my husband lead the conversation, or if I should have an input in our conversation with the kids.
What's the concern?
My concern are his daughters. The Lord healed our marriage. He brought us back together after being apart for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we had gotten divorced in the first place was because of his daughters. Well, now we all get along, we talk and everything, we're in each other's lives, but I'm afraid of their reaction, because we have named our son, which he raised all this time, left him in charge of our trust,
right,
the executor.
Okay. So what I hear you saying is, you put a trust together, you and your husband are in agreement, what you put together, you want to share what you've done with the kids, but you're concerned about their reaction if you say something.
Yes.
It's okay if dad says something, but not you.
Yes, that's my concern.
Okay.
I don't want them to think that this was all my idea, the way that the trust has been done, because of what happened in the past. I'm afraid of their reaction.
Well, you have a very gentle, you loving, you want to do this right with the kids, and I respect that. I guess based on what I hear you saying, it sounds like you get along, but your concern is a little bit of walking on eggshells still in the relationship.
Yes, yes. Okay.
And what concerns you from having your husband just take the lead and make the presentation and you kind of, you know, follow along and shake your head and we're in agreement type of thing? Are you concerned that he's not up to doing that or what?
No, I'm okay with him doing that. I think he can do that, but I kind of feel he might stumble a little bit, and he's stern. He's a stern man, and I kind of feel he won't do this in a gentle, loving way.
Mm-hmm.
That it might kind of come across harsh to his daughters.
Even doing something like this, kind of like matter of fact, boom, boom, boom type of thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, what I hear, Janie, is you guys want to do the right thing, and you put the plan together. Are you both in agreement in the plan? I mean, everybody's happy, you and your spouse. And does the son know that he's in charge? You're going to be in charge of the executor part or the representative part? Okay. So the three of you know, but you're concerned about the daughters.
Right.
And is your son concerned about that too?
Yes.
Okay. So what I hear is three of us are in agreement. He's willing to do that. My husband and I are willing, want to do this, but we're concerned how it's going to be received. That's an interesting question. And probably have families listening have been down this trail. I've not experienced that. In our own family, but I think you just got to be really very clear. Then the quicker you do it, the better, and just be very clear. And if your husband is a little more direct, maybe it would be helpful to write out, have him actually write it out and rehearse it. You know, he could write it out and soften it a little bit. And so, hey, everybody, let me just read to you. I'll just read to you so I'm clear on what we're doing. So it's, and then if he reads it and it's written in a kind or direct way, it might be easier for him than just sharing from the cuff, as it were. But the fact that you want to get it all out on the table, you know what, Janie, at the end of the day, you cannot control what your daughter's responses are going to be. And frankly, you're being generous. You're saying, hey, we're including everybody and this is what we're doing and we're in agreement. And we've asked your brother to be the executor. I mean, everybody has, you got to have somebody that's going to run it. Sometimes it's somebody out of the family. I know that sometimes legal people say, hey, find somebody outside the family who's not involved. And there's some wisdom in that. And then sometimes it's a person in the family. But again, it comes down to having an understanding of the uniqueness of the family. So again, I'm not an attorney, but I think the fact that you're sitting down with everybody and getting it on the table and doing it as lovingly as you can and rehearsing it, and you're being generous if you're doing something for the kids. I think that's a generous thing. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. Don't go away.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. Have you ever wondered why you keep struggling with the same thoughts, emotions, and behaviors?
The solution to this thing of living intentionally is knowing God, restoring that relationship with Him that was broken in the garden, and then coming out of hiding and being vulnerable.
In Dr. Randy's message titled, God's Original Plan, you'll learn how to intentionally align your thinking, emotions, and actions with God's design so you can experience the life He intended for you. Support Intentional Living with a monthly gift today, and you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message and get unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. And if you give now, we have a special back-to-school message called Intentional Parenting, filled with practical ways to be a parent. So don't miss out on this special opportunity. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, thank you, Kurt, and I'm going to follow up on that, but I got to say something to Janie before she moves too far from the radio. The thought came to me while Kurt was doing his update there. If you're not comfortable and your husband's not comfortable, if you got an attorney who's, you know, is a good communicator, it might be worth a little extra money to say, would you be willing, we can come and say, hey, we put an estate together and here's why we've done it. And we're going to meet at the attorney's office because I want them to go through it with you and answer any questions because, you know, I'm not a legal person and maybe there's questions coming up that they can answer the questions for you and so on. It might be worth a few $100 to have the attorney do that. Unless it's one of those really expensive attorneys, it might be several $100. Come on. All right. But anyway, Janie, I hope that helps. But the fact you're taking care of things and putting them in order, you can't be responsible how the kids respond, and that would be disappointing to do something good for the family and then have them gripe. I certainly wouldn't be happy. All right, following up on Kurt, thank you for standing in support of the ministry. We all here rely on support. We're listener-supported ministry. We do what we do online and on podcasts. We got Bible studies, thousands of people going through intentional living studies online. We have publications and books, podcasts, radio programs around the country, and very excited about what God has given us to do. And I know the plans for the future, boy, today now more than ever, are huge to be more effective and broader reach with taking this message of knowing Jesus Christ and then experiencing your life the way He intended. Come on, many of us are living our lives in mediocrity, not experiencing God's best in our life. And there's there's some strategy in how do you do that? And that's what we're all about. And so thank you for your support. Thank you for standing with us. Thank you for being a part of the ministry. As you join us at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or call 888-888-1717.
Hey, my name is Ellen. I intentionally each morning pray not only for my husband, but I pray before I get out of bed, I ask God to get my mind straight and, you know, to change my frame of mind about how I relate to my husband. So I pray, you know, that God will give me the eyes to see him with the way that the Lord sees him and to be respectful and to help me with my tongue, you know, to always speak with him out of respect and with love. Because, you know, after 30 years of being married, I finally learned maybe 10 years in that, you know, I can be pretty opinionated as well. And you know, I really have to pray to set my mind straight each morning on how I'm going to treat my husband for the day. And if I don't do it, I find myself falling back into my old ways where I can be stubborn and, you know, almost irritable with him sometimes and short, and that's not the way I want to be. So I ask God for his help each morning, and that really, really gets me through. And that's after 30 years of being married. I'm trying to tell my young daughter-in-law and my daughter that, wake up, girls. You gotta realize this early in your marriage.
People helping people, that's a big part of what we do here at Intentional Living. That's why we exist. Back to the calls. Paula in New Mexico. Yeah, there you go. Paula, welcome to Intentional Living.
Hi, how are you today, Dr.
Good.
Randy?
Good, thank you. How do you relate to this?
Thank you for taking my call. I was actually listening on the radio initially driving home from the gym. So a lot of what was said by some of the other callers really hit home with me. My parents had eight of us when they passed away. The last one was Mom about almost 14 years ago. They really had things in order. I would say that we didn't always agree on the fact that our brothers were executors, co-executors, when we were the ones that were here doing the work. But afterwards, everything just worked out fine when we sold the house and all of that. I guess, and that's what I'm trying to do, is get things in order for my kids and my grandkids. One of the sisters that lives here she is critical of everybody in the family, and very unforgiving, and it doesn't matter what we say about any issue, she takes issue with it. And with regard to, you know, planning ahead for your kids, she has made suggestion because of her own relationship or lack of with her children, you know, that maybe we should do things differently. If my daughter, for example, is not living the way she should, respecting us, whatever, that I should like take her out of the will. And I don't want to do that. I'm not hearing that from the Lord. I'm not.
You're talking about your own daughter.
Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, if that's what she wants to do, that's fine. But, you know, for her to be critical of everyone else and unforgiving, really, is hard to swallow. So instead of cutting my daughter out of the will, what I have done is I have actually set a boundary in place, and I'm not speaking to my daughter right now. I pray for her every day. Not speaking to my sister, I pray for her. So I guess I feel like, am I on the right path? You know, like Mom and Dad would have never approved of all this brokenness, you know?
Now, let me ask you this, Paula, briefly. Is the issue over the will? Is that what's partly breaking this whole family up? Or is this just part of the whole thing?
Partly. So that is all settled. Everybody got their settlement. But here we are, you know, almost 14 years later, and she still brings up the fact that our brothers were co-executors. That was Mom and Dad's choice.
Now, but you're talking about your sister there.
Yes. I'm talking about my sister.
Now, but
there.
Then you're also talking about your daughter with your will.
Yes,
okay. So the issue is you got issues with your sister over 14 years ago, and you got issues with your daughter about how she thinks you should run things now.
Right.
All right.
So,
most of this is still about money and about this stuff, right?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
All right. Give it all away. Hello. You know, I'm being a little facetious, but at the same time, you know, I think the Bible is pretty clear that, boy, the love of money can create all sorts of problems, can it? The love of things, anything that possesses us, it gets a hold of our heart and our minds. And we all have to be careful of it. It may not be money. It could be fame. It could be good looks. It could be prestige, position, whatever. And as followers of Christ, to have the humility to say, wow, what a blessing if something falls down in my lap that I didn't anticipate or being a part of, what a blessing that is. So many things can divide families. And of course, you know, Paula, this goes back much deeper. Here's what happens. Estates and probably attorneys who are listening who do this work have experienced this. This is like putting the tea bag in hot water. When someone dies and a family gets together, it's like the tea bag going in the hot water. Whatever's in that tea bag is going to come oozing out. And in the process, it's going to be damaging, really damaging. And so, to me, bottom line is you've got resources and you've decided how you want to disperse them when you're gone. And by the way, I hope there's always a charitable, should be a charitable. I was raised that way. I believe that. And I know even if it's a ministry, and I'm not pitching our ministry here, I'm really not, but we've got people who give when their family, when someone in the family passes, part of their estate is to leave to the ministry. And what a blessing that is, that legacy. And so to have that charitable part of our attitude, to make sure that the gospel is continuing to be presented. And I always encourage people, do, as they say, my dad always used to say, give your, do your giving while you're living, and then you're knowing where it's going. And there's a lot of truth in that. Take a break? Okay. Okay. When I get the look from Jennifer, I know it's time. Quick break. Number one is to have a personal salvation experience with the God of creation. You know, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so I would encourage you just to know that if you don't know Jesus Christ personally, you can know him today. And if you'd like to know more about that, when you come to our website at theintentionallife.com, we have a free booklet there that's available to you. Hey, thank you for joining in support of the ministry. We appreciate it. We do have that available to encourage you. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. We just scratched the surface on a huge topic. I'd love your feedback. Share it with us on our comment line. Maybe we'll air some of those down the road at 888-888-1717.
My one intentional thing is to do God's will, no matter what, to give that first place and priority in my life. I was reading the Word this morning, and Jesus prayed 3 times to have this cup passed from him. But, you know, he didn't really want to go to the cross and suffer all the stuff he suffered. And he asked the Father 3 times if there's any other way. But he always ended it with, "Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done." So that's my intentional thing I'm going to do each day, is pray for God's will. The knowledge of God's will and the power to carry it out. This is Jim from Flagstaff. Thanks, Randy. Keep up the good work, and God bless you. Bye.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it, man. Flagstaff, beautiful place, and sounds like a man who wants to live intentionally every day. That's our message and hope and why we exist here at the ministry. Our network of stations, coast to coast, radio stations, our podcasting going around the world, now our online Bible studies and content that's being developed, video and in print, audio going out around the world with one goal. We've got a really clear focus. We want you to experience life the way God intended, with all the peace and freedom that comes with it. And thank you for being a part of it. I'm Dr. Randy, along with the team. We'll be back next time with more intentional living, a part of Intentional Life Media.